Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is our 10th Quran study session, and I would like to discuss a topic today that is quite relevant to current affairs. In the past few years, there has been a wave of social movements in our country centered on justice, edalat. Me too, Black Lives Matter, and now Palestinian Lives Matter. So today, inshallah, we will examine justice in the Quran. What does the Quran teach about justice? What does Islam expect from its followers with respect to justice? This is what I am going to talk about today, inshallah. Justice is hugely important in the Quran. Huge, huge. The importance of justice cannot be overemphasized. Justice is part and parcel to being a faithful Muslim. The Quran dictates that Muslims be just to others and make sure that justice prevails in their society. In fact, it is the religious duty of a Muslim to stand for justice. One more time, it is a religious duty for a Muslim to stand for justice. As we shall see later, it is not optional, it is an injunction. My last sermon was on Imam Ali's last will, if you recall. Do you recall what Imam Ali said about justice in his last will? فَكُونَا لِلظَّالِمِ خَسْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ أَوْنَا سِتَمْگَرْ رَا دُشْمَن وَسِتَمْدِيدَ رَا يَار وَيَاوَر بَاشِد. Be an enemy of tyrants and oppressors and a helper of the oppressed. So justice is a core teaching of the Holy Quran. There are three key concepts in the Quran that deal with justice. Three concepts: Adl, Qist, and Mizan. Three key concepts: Adl, Qist, and Mizan. All these three concepts should be taken together as a whole, as a collection, to get a good sense of what the Quran teaches on justice. Adl and Qist, both are typically rendered justice in English, both of them. Adl and Qist are typically translated as justice in English. But there are differences between Adl and Qist in the Quran. Since we have a short time today in this sermon, I will not dwell on the differences between Adl and Qist. So when I recite Quran verses, I will translate both Adl and Qist as justice, and I will skim over their differences. Now, in the Quran, Qist is used exclusively for human transactions. So whenever the Quran uses the term qist, it talks about something that has to do with human relationships, human transactions. For example, qist deals with equitable distribution of rights and resources in society, respecting the rights of other human beings. And perhaps more importantly, qist has a social dimension to it. So you can think of qist in the Quranic context as social justice. So qist in the Quran is almost the same thing as what we call social justice in the English language. Adl, on the other hand, has broader meaning than qist. Broader meaning. Adl covers not just the affairs of human beings, but the entire universe. So when the Quran uses the concept of adl, it essentially means proportion, In other words, proper relationship between things or parts of a system. It also means equilibrium or balance, equal distribution within a system. Again, this system can be a natural ecosystem, it could be the universe, or it could be a human society, right? Proportion, equilibrium, and balance. That is the underlying meaning of Adl in the Holy Quran. Now, the third keyword, mizan, also means balance. It also means standard. So, mizan in the Quran means balance or standard. Mizan permeates all of existence. Mizan permeates the entire realm of existence. For example, laws of nature are mizan. They are standards upon which the nature operates. The Quran uses mizan as a reference to justice. Mizan is a reference to justice. Adl and qist, or justice, require that we respect and honor standards and the balance. Do you see the relationship between these three concepts? Adl and qist, justice, require that we respect, that we honor standards. We respect and honor the balance. In some verses, you will find adl or qist alongside mizan to make that very connection. And probably in the verses that I'm going to recite today, you will see instances where mizan is used alongside qist or adl. Now, because adl is a principle that permeates all of existence, all of the universe, it is much more than an ethical virtue. Adl in the Quran is far greater than a call for being fair and just in our dealings with others. Adl is a principle that underlies creation. Super important statement I just made. If you really want to grasp why justice is so important and critical to the Quran, this is actually the starting point. Adl, justice, is a principle that underlies creation. God's creative act rests on His justice. In fact, one of God's beautiful names in the Quran is Al-Adil, the just. God has revealed Himself in this vast universe as the just. So God is just in His creation and with His creation. God is just in His creation and with His creation. God designed the world through justice by setting the balance, mizan, within creation itself. That's what verses 5 through 7 in chapter 5 inform. Ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bihusban wan-najmu wash-shajaru yasjudan was-samaa'a rafa'aha wa waza'a al-mizan. The sun and the moon follow their calculated courses. The plants and trees submit to God's designs. He has raised up the sky. He has set the balance. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَزَعَ الْمِيزَانَ. So God designed the world through the balance. So balance is embedded within creation. At the fundamental level, the universe operates on balance. Imam Ali rephrased the Quranic idea. العدل اساس به قوام العالم العدل اساس به قوام العالم justice is the bedrock of the universe justice is the bedrock of the universe the heavens and the earth are founded upon balance and justice justice puts every element every component every member in its proper place imam ali said al adl yaz'u al umura mawazi'aha justice or adl positions everything in their proper place there is order in the physical universe because all elements occupy their proper place There is a delicate balance in nature. The universe survives because this balance, this delicate balance, is observed. This is a key component of the Islamic worldview. Sheikh Mahmud Shabistari, one of our great mystics, said, اگر یک ذره را برگیری از جای خلل یابد همه عالم سراپای If one small piece is taken away it harms the universe from top to bottom That is the wisdom that actually the Quran imparts on us There is an intricate system of interdependencies at work in God's creation This is the core component of the Islamic worldview. Scientists are just beginning to realize that the balance in nature is lost. Over the past maybe two, three decades, the scientists now are warning that the balance in nature on Earth is lost. Human greed and carelessness has thrown the natural environment out of balance. Global warming, deforestation, environmental degradation, these are all manifestations of the imbalance that we human beings have caused in nature. And surely we will pay for our folly. As Muslims, we need to be just towards nature toward God's creation by protecting the environment it is not optional it is a religious duty so according to the Quranic view justice or adl is built into the fabric of this vast universe justice is fundamentally important to existence It is intrinsic to the order of God's creation. Since you and I, are part of this universe, we must also observe justice. We must be just in our transactions because we are part of this vast universe on which God has built justice. Notice in the verses that I'm going to cite here how the Quran seamlessly ties justice in nature with the commandment for human justice. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَزَعَ الْمِيزَانَ أَلَّا تَقَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانَ وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانَ God has raised up the sky He has set the balance so that you may not transgress in the balance. Weigh with justice and do not fall short in the balance. In other words, honor the balance and harmony that exist in nature, which you are a part of. Do not transgress the balance in your own dealings with nature and with other human beings. Do not withhold what is due to other people. Do not be tyrannical. Do not be oppressive. And then the Quran commands Muslims. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ Chapter 16, verse 90. God commands justice. Now this short phrase, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ, you can find it repeatedly in the Holy Quran. The Quran offers explicit examples for what justice entails. Now I've laid the ground for my talk, really. Why justice is so important in Islam? Because God designed this vast universe on the principles of justice, on mizan and adl. The Quran offers concrete guidelines for just behavior. Let me give you a sample of Quranic commandments on justice. Chapter 4, verse 58. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا God commands you to return things entrusted to you to their rightful owners. And if you judge between people, do so with justice. God's instructions to you are excellent, for He hears and sees everything. Do not withhold what is due to others. That's what this verse is demanding. Be fair, be even-handed when you are asked to judge between two parties. You should give no consideration to friendship, no consideration to social status, or the power of the parties in your judgment. Another commandment on justice. Chapter 6, verse 152. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبْلُقُ أَشُدَّهُ وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَأَدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى Do not approach the orphan's property except with the best of intentions until he reaches maturity and give full measure and weight with justice. We task no soul beyond its capacity. And when you speak, be just, even if it be against a relative. Be just when you speak, even if it is against one of your relatives. This other verse that I'm going to tell you right now is even more explicit. It even sets the bar higher for a Muslim. Chapter 4, verse 135. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا غَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُعَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَىٰ بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْحَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلُوا أَوْ تُعْرِزُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ خَبِيرًا Very important verse. O Muslims, uphold justice and bear witness for God, even if it is against yourselves, your parents, or your close relatives. Whether the person is rich or poor, God can best take care of both. Refrain from following your own desire so you can act justly. If you distort or neglect justice, God is fully aware of what you do. This verse addresses the faithful, you and I. This verse provides you and I litmus tests for true faith. Am I a true believer in God? Well, here are the three important litmus tests that the verse offers us. Number one, the verse said, uphold justice and bear witness for God. In other words, standing for God and standing for justice is deeply linked. One more time, standing for justice and standing for God is deeply linked. If you do not stand for justice, you do not stand for God. It is that simple. Second point in this verse, we should stand firm for justice even if it does not serve our personal interest, even if it harms the interest of someone we love. This is the true test for faith. Justice comes before love of family. It comes before love of religious community or love of country. Do not turn a blind eye on injustice because it is committed by a relative, by a member of your Muslim community, or your government against another nation. That's what this verse is teaching us. Now, the third really, really important point that this verse makes. It said, فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُ. Refrain from following your own desire so that you can act justly. In other words, there is a direct link between injustice and pursuing our selfish interests. There is a direct link between injustice and pursuing our selfish desires. Justice does not get along with selfishness, egoism. Those who are tall on selfishness will be short on justice. In a funny story in his masterpiece Mathnavi, Rumi illustrates this very wisdom so beautifully. The fact that if somebody pursues his selfish interests, he will not be able to uphold justice. Rumi says in this story, there was a guy who was sick. He went to see his doctor. The doctor examined him thoroughly. At the end, the doctor determined that the patient was terminally ill. He was dying. So there was no point in prescribing medications or any special diet to this guy. The doctor didn't have the stomach to tell this sick person that, hey, you're dying, right? So he said, my dear patient, there is really no need for you to observe any special diet. You don't have to take any medications. No restrictions. Do whatever your heart desires. Do whatever you damn please. The patient obviously was so happy to hear that. He took the doctor's words literally. As he was walking by a creek, he saw a Sufi man who was washing his clothes with his head down. The sick man noticed the back of the Sufi's neck, nicely shaped and neat, very inviting for a slap. The sick guy said to himself, the doctor just told me to do whatever my heart desires. Now my heart desires to slap this fellow. If I restrain myself, it actually may be quite bad for my health. Now Rumi takes a detour from the story and makes a very important point. ای هوا را طب خود پنداشته، هوا مرادش هوای نفسه، ای هوا را طب خود پنداشته، بر ضعیفان سقف را بگماشته. او you who fancy that indulgence of desire is your right medicine and inflict slaps on the weak. Amazing insight, isn't it? There are a lot of us out there who think that the indulgence of our desires, pursuing our selfish interests, whatever our heart desires, is actually good medicine for us. And that's what leads us to doing injustice to humanity. Anyhow, the sick man slapped the Sufi. The Sufi jumped up frightened. He looked at the man and noticed that he was very skinny and very fragile. The Sufi said to himself, if I retaliate, if I slap him, I might actually kill him. So the Sufi decided not to slap him back. Instead, he took the sick man's hand and took him to a judge. The Sufi explained to the judge what had happened. The judge took a look at the sick man. He told the Sufi, listen, this guy is too weak for punishment. I think you should even have more compassion for him. How much money do you have? The Sufi was obviously taken back by this question. But he was polite and respectful. He responded, I have 6 bucks. The judge said, keep 3 bucks for yourself and give the other 3 bucks to this frail man so he can buy food and get better. The sick man was standing by, listening very attentively to this conversation. Something caught his eyes again. This time, the back of the judge's neck. It was even better than the Sufi's. The sick man slapped the judge and said, Judge, you know, these slaps have been very rewarding for me. I slapped that Sufi and got paid 3 bucks. Given that you are a judge and have more income, just give me 6 bucks and I will be on my way. The judge had just realized how inappropriate his verdict had been. He told the sick man, are you crazy? You can't go around and slap people and expect to get paid for it. As soon as the judge said these words, uttered these words, the Sufi grabbed his hand and said, آنچه نپسندی به خود ای شیخ دین چون پسندی بر برادر ای امین، این ندانی که پی من چه کنی، هم در آن چه عاقبت خود افکنی. O learned man, how can you approve for a Muslim brother what you disapprove for yourself, O man of trust? Don't you know this, that if you dig a pit for me, you will at last let yourself fall into the same pit? What Rumi teaches in this story is actually the golden rule of ethics. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. At its core, justice requires empathy. That's what I was trying to get at in this story. Justice requires empathy, the ability to put ourselves in other people's shoes. And you cannot have empathy unless you restrain your selfish desires. You cannot have justice if you don't have empathy. And you're not going to have empathy until and unless you can restrain your selfish desires. That's what the verse is teaching us. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُ. Refrain from selfish desires so you can be just. Let me give you another commandment for justice that pushes the bar even higher for a Muslim. Chapter 5, verse 8. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنعان قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. O you who believe, be steadfast in your devotion to God and bear witness impartially. Do not let hatred for a people lead you to be unjust. Be just, for justice is closer to piety. Be mindful of God. God is well aware of all that you do. You see, it may be easy to be just towards nice people. It may be easy to be just towards deserving people. But oh boy, it is so difficult to be just with people who hate us, who have attacked us. It is not easy to be just towards our enemies. But that is precisely what the Quran challenges us to do. Treat those who have ill will towards you fairly and with dignity. Many of the verses that I shared with you deal with individual justice. That is an individual's action. Social justice, on the other hand, focuses more on the relations between groups of people within a society, how social, political, and economic institutions function. Social justice concerns the content of laws. Social justice is also a core value of Islam. As I mentioned before, the Quranic concept of qist mostly refers to social justice. The Quran says qist or social justice was a pillar of the mission of all God's messengers. Chapter 57, verse 25. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلْنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. We sent our messengers with clear signs, the book and the balance with them, so that people would uphold justice. We also sent down iron with its mighty strength and benefits for humankind. So God's messengers brought with them Kitab, the book or the scripture which contains principles and values. They also brought with them Mizan, the standard by which we should weigh what is good and beneficial against what is evil and harmful. But for what purpose? Why did God's messengers brought Kitab and Mizan, the book and the standards? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Qiyam means to stand for, to rise for. They brought the scripture and the standard so the people would stand for justice. The struggle for social justice should not be abandoned in the face of violent repression by authorities. If all peaceful paths to achieving justice is closed off by repressive rulers, then as a last resort, the oppressed and the persecuted can resort to iron to uproot tyranny, oppression, and injustice. If I were to rephrase the Quranic verse in a language that would resonate with you and I in modern society, God's messengers invited us to create a community where justice permeates the law, where justice permeates politics and the economy, to build a community where justice is embedded in all of our institutions. economic justice means equal access to resources and opportunities for everyone. Economic justice means equitable distribution of income and wealth. Listen to what Imam Ali said. I never saw wealth piled up somewhere unless poverty was also piled up somewhere else. If we go by the standard that Imam Ali has set for us, there is massive economic injustice everywhere around the world, including here in our own country. You know the statistics about income inequality, wealth inequality, poverty in the US, and we are running out of time. I'm not going to talk about that. Political injustice is what the Quran calls dhulm. Dhulm. Dhulm shows its ugly face in so many different ways. Dhulm, or oppression, happens when a group of people in society are deprived of their God-given civil rights or human rights. When people have no meaningful say in determining who runs their government. When political authorities abuse the judicial process to keep themselves in power. When the laws enforce discrimination. When courts silence dissent. Unfortunately, economic and political injustice is what Muslim nations have an abundance of. It's very shameful, but it's true. Muslim nations are engulfed in economic and political injustice. Iran, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Egypt, they are all among the world's leading nations in political and economic injustice. What a betrayal of the clear commandments of our holy book. Lastly, let me point out another dimension of social justice in the Quran. There is also a link, there is a connection between peace and justice. There is a clear connection between peace and justice. Chapter 49, verse 9. If two parties among the believers fall to fight, you should try to make peace between them. If one of them aggresses against the other, fight the aggressor until they return to God's command. Then make peace between them with justice, and be fair and even-handed, for God loves those who are fair and just. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ. Make peace with justice. There will never be peace without justice. I wish our leaders in Washington could understand this wisdom. There will never be peace in the Holy Land unless there is justice for Palestinians. Without justice, peace will not be sustainable. We may be able to restore calm between two warring parties using diplomatic maneuvering or arms twisting. However, war will break out again between those two parties because the underlying injustices remain unresolved, unaddressed. In conclusion, justice is central to Islam, both individual justice and social justice. Social justice is a pillar of the mission of all God's messengers. A person who does not stand for justice does not stand for God. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.